Hi.
Good evening.
Hi. Who's on the other end? I coughed at the same time.
It's Hanos.
Oh, hi. Didn't recognize your voice.
Nobody called me this morning, and I forgot the Psalms class again. I'm not blaming the people who didn't call me. I'm just blaming myself.
Okay. I had an appointment anyway this morning. I probably would have made it, though, because it wasn't at 10, but...
Understand.
All these appointments that are made a year ahead of time, and, you know, we didn't have Psalms class to show the theme, so... And it's too hard to change an appointment these days. You're lucky to get one.
That I do understand. We'll get started. I'm just waiting another minute or two to see if somebody else comes.
Okay.
We have been having some very good discussions recently.
I agree.
Okay. We will begin with the Lashem Yehud, and we're beginning today with the Parasha of Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary. We're beginning section 19, and we will start with Pasuk 166. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkinte Bid Hiluur Himu Udhiluud Hiluur Himu. Leakta Lashem Yud He Bovavhe. The Yehuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vahino Amadunai Elohino Valena Maseya Denu Kanane Elena Maseya Denu Kananehu. Pasuk 166. El ha-makom asher haya sham ahalo bat chitechila ahalo behei man ahalo da beit el even shelema kid amaran tu rishim weyavar El makom hamiz beach asher asa sham berishona di tiv lashem anire elav ugdein vayikra sham avram b'shem hashem kidein itabak Bemiham nuta shilemata. Welcome, Malka. We're on section 19, beginning with Pasuk 166. I just read it in the Aramaic, and I'll now translate it into English.
Hello.
In the verse.
I thought we were on 164. We were just starting it. And I didn't miss any. But that's okay.
Well,
go ahead
right.
And do what you...
No, you're right. We should start with 164. For some reason, I had advanced down to 166. So.
Well, we didn't have a class yesterday, I think.
That's correct. But still, for some reason, I don't remember why I had advanced it down to that. But you're right. We should start at 164. So we will begin again. We've already said the L'shem Yichud, so we'll just read the Aramaic for verse 164. Amar Rabbi Shimon Tahatse Makiti Vayelech L'masa Av L'mayif Tad Atreya Widargo L'masa Av L'masa Av Kiti Man Masav Da Darga Dadma Av Itchaze Leya Bekad Mita Kitiv Hakam San Utiv Ta Hatam Even Shilema Masa Nivne Vehaukimna Even Shilema Vadai Masa Kima Deit Bar. The translation. Rabbi Shimon said, come and see. The verse, and he went on his journeys. The Hebrew word is lemasa'av, means that he went to visit his place and his grade. In this verse, lemasa'av is spelled without the letter yud, indicating the singular form. And he asks, which journey? And he answers, this is the first grade that was revealed to him. Here it is written, masa'av, his journey. And in another place, thither, the Hebrew is masa, was built of stone made ready before it was brought. As we have already explained, assuredly it was the stone made ready. The Hebrew word is shlema, which means that the stone which is malchut belongs to the king, to whom the peace, the Hebrew word shalom, belongs. And King Solomon, the Hebrew for Shlomo, alludes to the king to whom peace belongs, namely Zeranpin. So by analogy, in the former verse as well, it refers to the Nukva of Zeranpin. Masa has already been explained. My commentary. This pasuk is explaining code words. Yet it also relates to the level of Malchut, the first grade. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, the verse is before, you know, in 18, we were talking about Abraham. And yesterday, since we didn't have a class and we were waiting, the first sentence of the synopsis popped up at me. Because I thought it was continuing about Abraham because it said, Abraham, the patriarch, attained the highest level of wisdom that a man can achieve. Well, one thing, I thought Moses achieved the highest level because there was no greater prophet than Moses, according to Deuteronomy. So that kind of threw me. Then, and I didn't go on to read, but I figured it was continuing about Abraham. And then the translation brings in Shlomo. And I thought it was talking about that the first grade that he obtained was the Ruach. And then I thought the stone made ready was the his neshama, because we learned, or if I'm remembering right and if I'm correct in what I understood, was that when the nefesh and the ruach are present, that the neshama kind of goes in without effort. I know it's not like that, but I see movement, let me put it that way, and unification. So the rest of this kind of threw me. I mean, I understand throne and kingdom and Solomon being a king, all representing Malkuth. So anyway, you're going to have to explain, because that's what I thought as you read. And it's not unusual for me to be wrong. So.
Well, everybody's wrong from time to time. It's not the issue. But the issue is, the first thing that you said that was wrong in this, so what you just said, was the highest or the wisest human being to ever exist is King Shlomo. He was given the connection to Zerantin, as this verse hints or says. King Shlomo, and his name really tells it all, because if you take the Vav in Shlomo at the end of the word, it means his, and then the rest of the letters spell the word Shalem, or Shalom, depending on vowels. So it can be his completion or his peace. Either one represents the finish of the tikkun. Go ahead and ask your question, Hannah.
No, it was, I was just saying, when you said completeness, well, I said his wholeness, too. So
wholeness and completion. Something is whole because it's complete. Mm-hmm. Something is peaceful, shalom. You have to have peace in order to be complete. They're all interrelated.
Right. So whose tikkun is complete? Avraham or King Solomon? I'm still missing
it. King Solomon's.
Okay.
King Solomon represents Zerantin, just as Moses represents Zerantin. Moses arrived at the level of Dot, but Dot is not yet Bina, whereas King Shlomo is connected to Zerantin when King David is Malchut, but ultimately King Shlomo arrives at the level of the world that is coming. Except in the one area of limiting his sexual desires. That's the only area he did not complete. And that is left for us to continue to complete.
Is that because of his wands, the many wands he took?
Well, because he took many wives, he never was allowed to marry his soulmate. None of those wives, the 1,700 concubines and 300 wives, were never his true soulmate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't think I've ever heard that before. That's interesting.
Well,
it makes sense.
It's not written directly. It's an extrapolation from the information we are given in the Midrashim. And as you say, it makes sense. So that's the extrapolation. Mm-hmm. It's using logic to right. present. But I always tell you, logic is a tool of the negative forces. So always be careful with logic.
And what was the code for stoned?
What was the stone is the Evan stone is the stone that was put aside because it was blemished.
Okay.
And then they ran out of stones. They couldn't complete the temple unless they used it. So it became the foundation stone. Why is it the foundation stone? Because in King Shlomo, he didn't complete the correction of his yesod. So it's called the foundation stone, meaning the stone of connected to yesod. But it's essentially the stone represents malchut.
So the stone that the builder rejected wasn't King David, and then it went on to Solomon, but Solomon didn't correct it either at the Yesod level?
Well, and I don't know. I think that King David corrected his Yesod. But there's a difference between the Yesod of Zeron Pin and Yesod of Malchut.
Okay, I always get trapped by that. I forget that.
Okay. And the verse is confusing because it's jumping around in the sense of the Sephiroth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the verse is talking about Abraham's journeys, but it's bringing in King Shlomo, and it's bringing in the Nukva of Zeron Pin, and it's bringing in the Evan stone, or in this verse, it's the stone Shlema, meaning completion. The same letters as Shlomo. So you see how the play on the Hebrew works. And if we don't speak Hebrew as our native tongue, we'll never understand those things. Well, I shouldn't say never, but we don't initially pick up on those interrelationships and the play on the Hebrew words.
See, I was still focusing on the Ruach and the Nefesh, the Ruach and the Shama from 18, and I guess I hadn't
right.
jumped to the Sophie Road either.
And
thank you.
The way I would explain that to you is to constantly remind you it's something we always forget. We are so used to the Western world presenting everything logically. And if it's not logical, it can't be true, or whatever way you want to perceive the teachings of the Western world. But the Zohar and the Talmud are never presented that way. They're presented in a process where you go from the general to the specific and back to the general. And then again the specific. And this logical progression is never present in the Zohar. What is present as we follow the stories, as we follow the psukim, is this jumping around. But that's the way a human being thinks. Our thoughts are not logical. Our thoughts, when you were praying, we're praying the words of the Amidah, and we start out speaking about the three forefathers. But then we jump to the end where we talk about, in the second blessing, we're talking about the resurrection of the dead. Now, is that logical? Well, I can explain a logic to it by saying, well, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob have died, and so we're logically going to the end where they're resurrected. But that's not really what is being said and what is being discussed. There are two distinct levels of consciousness. The first blessing and the second blessing are not logically related, but they're unified. But how can they be unified if they're not logically related? And that is the paradox, or one of the many paradoxes that make up what is a human being. One of the many paradoxes that makes up the creation, the different ends that represent Zeron Pin, as referred to as the six ends. Well, what is it? What, in the sense of a Sephirah, what does an end mean? It means there's no continuity. There's no. You go to Malchut, and there's nothing beyond the Malchut in that frame of reference. But we can't understand that. Not in a Western world's mentality and education system. So we have to break the klipa that doesn't let us understand. And the way Hashem has done that is through the Ruach HaKodesh of whoever wrote the Torah, as we know it was Hashem, and whoever wrote the Talmud, and we know some history of that, and whoever wrote the Zohar, and you have the Satan's interference, where it's not Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Moses de Leon. But it's all related to breaking the klipot of the six ends. So there's continuity and unification possibility between all of those frames of reference. Now, was any of what I just said clear, or just clear as mud?
No, I just don't know how long it'll stick.
What I just said takes listening to and not trying to make logic of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, there is an amazing breakthrough. You don't know where that breakthrough comes from, but all of a sudden, it makes sense. And until that one day comes for each and every one of us, we will always depend on logic. But we will recognize when the klipah actually gets broken and we are released from the limitation of logic.
Is it released from the logic in one area?
There are six ends in Zeron Pin.
Okay. No.
But how many different levels are there within there on 10. Why did King Shlomo have 700 concubines and 300 wives? Do you think there were there was 1,000 different countries in his time, in biblical times when he built the temple? There were 1,000 different countries? No, there's not 1,000 different countries now. Are there 1,000 different dialects of language? Yes, in China alone there's 1,000 dialects. You go 5 miles down the road and it's a different dialect. They don't understand each other. That's why they speak Mandarin, which was the language of Beijing, the capital. And when Beijing, that feudal overlord, defeated all the others and unified it, he brought the children from those areas, whatever king it was, and I don't remember the name, he brought the children from those areas, and he made them a scribe caste, so to speak. And they learned the language of the capital, Beijing, that became known as Mandarin, and he sent them out to back home so that all of the orders from the capital could be read and understood and interpreted and translated to the dialect that they came from. Which is why King Shlomo has 1,000 wives. Because within Zerunpin, there's 1,000, 10 times 10 times 10. There's 3 levels of Sephirot. But how many different species of insects are there? There's more than 1,000 species of insects. So how many levels of Sephirot are there? They're infinite. They're unending, as in the endless world. And again, I've made everything as clear as mud, because I'm trying to break the klipot of those who are hearing this. Both those who are here on the live call and those who will hear the recording later. And this is a continuation of these good, deep conversations we've been having recently. We're out of time, but I'd like to ask Marco, do you have any questions at this point?
Well, what do you think that King Solomon's purpose in getting that many wives was because he brought peace? He was looking for peace among the in the world of Malkut. So, was that one of his purposes? And I don't know, but I think that's part of why.
That is why he took 1,000 wives, because each king, each tribe that they ran across, he would marry the daughter of that king or prince or whatever the title was, trying to bring peace among all of the different communities. That's why he took 1,000 wives. But he was told not to do that in his wisdom, and he ignored it because he thought he knew better than... Well, I can't really say why he did, but he did. But we're out of time.
Okay.
If you want, we can carry this on next week on Monday.
Okay.
You all have a good evening.
Thank you.
I'm sorry?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And 7 o'clock class tonight is a Zohar class. So hopefully we'll all join back together. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.